Welcome to another episode of the No Ceilings Podcast. You got the Tylers on a Sunday night or Monday morning, depending on when you're listening. Going off program, but you know, it's Selection Sunday. We had to react. It'd be weird if we didn't. It'd be weird if we weren't in your feed. So no Maxwell for you guys on Monday. I'm sorry you're missing out. You're getting our voices twice this week. But lucky you, if you're a big fan. Otherwise, Maxwell's in the depths of a massive tournament preview piece. So he's not slacking. He's hard at work elsewhere. But make sure Monday morning, NoCeilingsNBA.com. Go check it out. But I'm joined by Tyler Rucker. Rucker, how are we doing?
I'm just ready to roll. I'm so pumped up for this one. I know everyone's like, whoa, Sunday episode, Monday morning, as Metcalf said, with the Tylers. But yeah, Sunday. Selection Sunday, pretty crazy. We were thinking about doing a live stream during it. And then we were like, why don't we regroup and kind of plan this one out and have some fun with it? So I've got my notes. It's a shocker, Metcalf. I've actually taken notes for a podcast.
That's a first.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this one. A lot of juicy matchups, a lot of juicy potential upsets, a lot of good prospect matchups. And obviously, I've looked down the road. There could be some very, very fun prospect matchups. So I think this is going to be a good one. We're also going to, you know, sprinkle our thoughts about some guys that didn't make the big dance that we got to keep fresh in our mind. So happy March Madness to you, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. This one's going to be a little chaotic. You know what I think we should do? I think we should go game by game, round by round, and just make our selections. I'm kidding. That sounds like an awful
podcast. I'll do it. I took the coffee 10 seconds ago, so I'm good.
Let's just start in the East. What stood out? Let's go big picture. UConn, number one overall seed. Agree, disagree, likes, dislikes, favorite matchup. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, UConn at number one wasn't really much of a shocker. I still believe all roads lead to UConn. My old man, shout out to my dad, today texted me. He's like, yeah, Selection Sunday, wide open this year. And I was like, oh father, all roads lead to UConn. So, no, but, you know, there, it's funny because in every single, you know, region, there was a game that I was like, oh, you know, Washington State and Drake Tucker having a little bit of magic in the big dance is always a little special one. San Diego State and UAB is going to be interesting. I think the FAU Northwestern could be a bar fight to start it out. What do you think? It's funny because that FAU team, me and you were talking about this before we hit record. Like, it's pretty much the same team coming back. Yeah. They've had some really good wins this year. They had a tough one against Arizona, bear down. Had some bad losses, and then Northwestern scrappy. So it's like a classic 8-9 back alley brawl. But what did you think?
Yeah, and I thought UConn kind of had a bit of a tough road here. Not necessarily like juggernauts that they have to go through, but FAU has, you know, Golden and John L. Davis, two guys who were there. I mean, their whole team was there last year, but two guys that can have big time games. They can give UConn some fits. San Diego State's always tough. Auburn has been on a tear. They were so impressive during the entire SEC tournament. I think that's a really tough physical matchup with a lot of experience on that Auburn team. If they get through Yale and San Diego State, I mean, that Yale game, that finish was electric. That little floater at the buzzer beater. We get some Danny Wolfe in the NCAA tournament. Everyone should be excited about that. But then you even look at the bottom, and I mean, Illinois is on a tear, and that Iowa State team is playing about as good as anyone in the country right now. So I thought it made all the sense in the world that UConn was the number one overall seed, but I think they got some really tough teams in their way to get to the Final Four again.
Yeah, and I mean, FAU is going to be a roll of the dice. What team do you get? What version of FAU do you get? If you get the one that's cooking, like, yeah, they could dance with anyone because you get dangerous with, you know, their previous run last year. They could be like, hey, we can do this again. And everyone's going to be fired up when you're playing against UConn. You're going to be like, we can take down the Giants. And you never know with that. Auburn's been cooking. Johnny Broome had another great game today. So, I mean, they're cooking. Illinois is starting to look really good again. Iowa State's been playing awesome. And, you know, that's going to be a tough one for South Dakota State, but Zeke Mayo, I'm really excited to watch him. I think he could be a name to keep out on for next year. So it's a fun region with a lot of interesting matchups. I just still think, you know, I think UConn's got a good path. UConn, if everything goes the way, would be like, Auburn keeps cooking like this. Momentum's a serious thing this time of the year. Like, if you have some momentum rolling into the tournament, a couple wins, and you're like, hey, we can keep this going. We can do this. So, going to be really interesting. I still think, you know, I think UConn can be beat, but I still believe UConn could beat themselves. You know what I'm saying? I think if UConn's playing to their strengths, their ceiling's extremely high.
Okay, so I think we both agree that UConn is and should be the favorite to come out of this region. Obviously, they're the number one overall seed. Not exactly a hot take there. But if they fall early, if they don't make the Final Four, if they don't make it out of this region, call your shot now. Who are they falling to? And what went wrong?
I would say Auburn.
Yeah, That's
the scary one. I think if you're a UConn fan, Auburn's the first scary one. Just because if Auburn cooks through the first two rounds and you're like, you know, San Diego State's tough. That team was also dancing last year for a lengthy amount of time.
As a 5 seed, they made it to the national championship.
They know what they're doing. Jalen Lidey looked great for them. So maybe, you know, they're not going to be easy for Auburn. But if Auburn cooks in that game, that's going to be like, oh, that's an eye-opener. That's a statement. If they get past Auburn and Illinois is right there, or Iowa State, you still got another bar fight. I think Illinois is dangerous. Illinois is a team that I feel like could be easily beat because all it takes is one of their guys is frozen cold.
And Shannon doesn't get 17 free throws a game.
Exactly. If Shannon's cold and then nobody else is punching, they can be beat easily. But if Shannon's cooking and then you get Coleman Hawkins feeling like he can make it from everywhere, they're very dangerous. So, what about you?
I think Auburn's the biggest roadblock for them. I think they have the size, the physicality, the athleticism, and the shooting where if they get hot and Cam Spencer goes cold, Alex Caravan goes cold, Klingon picks up a couple early fouls, I think that Auburn team could really, really test them. I think Iowa State's the second best overall team in that group, obviously number 2 seed, but I'm not sure they have the size all the way throughout to really deal with UConn. So I think if UConn can get through Auburn, and that's assuming Auburn gets through Yale and San Diego State, obviously, and likewise with UConn, but I think that'll be their biggest test through up until the Final Four.
Yeah, I think if UConn gets through Auburn, I think that's a game where the following game, I'd be like, I really like UConn in this game because all of a sudden life's going to be a little bit more like smoother and they will match up better with other teams. So I'm right there with you. Any other thoughts or should we get into the depths of the beast?
Favorite two draft or your favorite draft prospect from this region that's not on UConn? Because we all know the UConn guys. We know Castle. We know Klingon. Any sleepers or guys that you think could rise? Anyone that you really like? Or just to kind of keep an eye on either for sleepers this year or kind of carry momentum into next year?
We haven't talked about Johnny Broome. What do you feel?
I texted someone.
I know he's been mocked places going in the second round, but like I also feel like this was one of those. When I saw it, I was like, "Are we trying to pull someone to be in the top 60?" Like, you know what I'm trying to say? Because I feel like I get at a point right now where I have two spots in my big board where I'm always like, I can easily move 15 people to the last couple slots, and I feel like he's been really productive. I said Zeke Mayo, San Diego State or South Dakota State. I think he is one to keep an eye on for probably next year, most likely.
Yes, that'll be a really fun matchup between him and Lipsy in that first in that Iowa State game.
And he's been a little cold, so he's one of those like all of a sudden it could just be lightning in a bottle. I'm trying to think of some.
Yeah, other no, so I have Broome like just inside my top 60 right now. I know some people have him in their first round. I can't get there, but like, when you look at his numbers, they're ridiculous, especially if you go to Bartorvik. It's dark green across the board. I mean,
yeah.
offensive rebounding rate of 11, defensive rebounding rate of 26, assist rate over 18, block rate of 9.5, steal rate almost 2. He's shooting some spot up threes, you know, over 5 attempts per 100. I don't know. I honestly don't know what to do with him. But like Dirty Dancer said in the comments, I do think one of the bigger names here is Jalen Wells, to keep an eye on.
Friend of the program.
With Washington State. Go check out Maxwell's interview with him. Very good stuff. He's been playing really well too. And I really, really like Miles Royce from that Washington State team too.
Yeah, it's a good team on the rise. I've liked some pieces from Washington State. I think they got some sleepers. That game's going to be fun. Like that game, they've been playing good, and them playing against Drake. Like, and
what Tucker are we getting? Are we getting the 5 for 25 or the guy who's going to go drop 40 plus?
Yeah. I still like Keyshawn Gilbert at Iowa State. He's the guy that could score and really turn some heads in the tournament. He also could be a dangerous in the other way because I think you know, he's one of those. Him and Caleb Love have the same green light. So I don't know. Jaden Ledee, I still think it's San Diego State's one of my favorite little sleepers that maybe he's a two-way guy or something. But
last name for me, Day-Day Grant from Duquesne. Fun toolsy forward, putting up good numbers this year. So
okay. Oh, and Morehead State, Riley Mannix, make sure you keep an eye on him. I know they've going against Illinois, but it's averaging almost 20-10. Senior, he's gonna be pumped out of his mind to send a statement. So that's a name to look out for.
Okay, who's winning this group?
UConn.
I'm saying UConn. All right. Okay. Where do you want to go next?
Let's go to the West.
Oh, the West. Okay.
Because I think if we go, the Kentucky one's gonna need a lot of time because every time I look at that, I'm like, oh my goodness. Let's go out West. So North Carolina. One seed. What are your thoughts? Hit me with it. I actually went out of order from my notes too, so now I'm all over the place. So,
there are some there are going to be some rock fights in this region. That Mississippi State Michigan State game is going to be gross, but I cannot wait for that New Mexico Clemson game. I think that is going to be so much fun. I think they're two very different teams. And New Mexico is playing so incredibly well. Did you see the New Mexico conference tourney championship game?
I haven't literally recorded. I'm watching it tonight.
I highly recommend late in the game. Jalen House makes a big shot, and they cut to his dad in the stands.
Oh, I saw Eddie. I saw Eddie's reaction.
That's my mother effing boy. That's my boy. I was like, God, that's cool.
It's probably a top three thing if you're a dad, like to be able to do that. He's probably been like, I've been waiting my whole NBA career. And then a Celtic fan on Twitter quoted it with a picture of KG Eddie House walking off the court for the Celtics to a timeout and Eddie House's kids right next to him. And I was like, how can you not be romantic about basketball? Like, it's just fantastic.
And Jabal Mashburn's kid is on the team.
Yes.
You got Donovan Dent, JT Toppin, who's playing out of his mind right now. I think that's, it wouldn't surprise me if they made it to the second weekend.
I have an early bracket I'm filling out right now. I'm a big believer of like when the brackets get announced, I literally make it as fast as possible because I'm like, I'm going to overthink this. And I literally have them winning two games at least. I think they got a real shot to beat Clemson. I think they got a real shot to beat Baylor. They are dangerous. They think they can beat anyone right now, and they have the dudes. We've been talking about Donovan Dent all year. We've been talking about House. We've been talking about JT Toppin. They're legit. And then Mashburn's kid. Like, but they're legit. We kept saying, like, okay, Donovan Dent might be huge leap next year guy. But this is the type of team that all of a sudden does some damage, and the buzz starts getting real cooking. And they're just, they match up really well with a lot of teams because they, JT Toppin can, you can throw him at everyone. He's a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
Dent's what, maybe the best playmaking guard in the country, arguably.
Yeah. Up there.
And then they got snipers who can get hot. So, and then Clemson, I like Clemson's team, but it's just a, and they're going to be like, oh, okay, we can't underestimate an 11 seed. Like, it doesn't feel like 6-11. It does not. It feels like a much better, I don't know. And I think New Mexico's favorite. I just like looked before.
Oh, really?
Recorded, and I was like, oh, okay. Oh. So I guess we're not. we're not. But someone can correct me if I'm wrong. But that's a juicy one. When they first announced it, I went, oh my goodness! Like Clemson getting a red hot team. What else?
I'm really worried about them. Pick what?
Pick it. Would you pick New Mexico or Clemson?
Yeah, I mean, right now, the second I'm having New Mexico beat Clemson and Baylor.
And then they're going to play Arizona and I'm going to have a heart attack.
I'm worried about Baylor. They have looked awful. They have looked really bad. Not ideal timing for that. And the weird thing with it is their defense looks atrocious, where they can't guard anyone. They have no idea what they're doing. They're Baylor, and they have a handful of guys who can get real hot, but they haven't gotten real hot in what feels like a month. So,
Scream that they like somehow win by 10 in the first round, and then you're just like, that was a very uncomfortable 10.
Where it's like four the entire game, and then
yeah, and then it's like, oh, they pulled away
from you. Like, yeah,
yeah. I don't know. Trying to look at other games. St. Mary's and Grand Canyon's a fantastic 5-12.
Ty and Grant Foster, keep an eye out. He is
keep an eye on fun. Him for GCU. He's fun. If you haven't been familiar with his story, he was formerly a big-time recruit, went to Kansas, had a medical problem, had to leave, basically went to DePaul, and then, or I'm sorry, transferred to DePaul. Halftime of a game at DePaul, had a be rushed to the hospital, was told his basketball career was over. Year later, transfers to GCU, he gets the clearance, and now he's playing and he's been awesome. So it's one of the coolest stories in basketball, him and Dawn connect. Just how could he not be romantic about basketball? So I don't know. What about you?
Let's talk about your Arizona Wildcats. How confident are you feeling? Do you like their draw? Are you worried about it? Give me your thoughts.
My whole entire computer screen's just shut off for a second, so I had a heart attack. So I apologize. I was like, oh, cool. Like, there goes the stream. I feel okay about Arizona. They have a good path. Problem is they have a good path every year, and they break my heart. So, you know, they're playing Long Beach State, which is obviously a Cinderella story. If you haven't been familiar, they fired their coach, and the coach said, I'm going to stay on until the end of the season. And then they win their conference tournament, and now they're dancing. So it's, I'm like, oh, great. We played Cinderella already. So, you know, if they get past them, then we potentially could get Arizona and Umar Ballo going against Dayton and Deron Holmes, which would be a lot of fun. So, you know, I don't feel great. I don't feel great, but that's life as an Arizona Wildcats fan. I have bad vibes. KJ Lewis is going to have a couple of good games and then stay in the draft.
Yeah.
So the party crasher.
That was going to be my next question. What prospect from this region is going to see their stock rise the most?
If Arizona gets past New Mexico / Baylor / Clemson, see, I'm not calling anyone out.
Just
/ Colgate. I think KJ Lewis could be a reason why. I could see Keyshawn Johnson kind of starting to buzz a little bit again as like a teams are liking him as a sleeper. I don't know. I want to say Jacoby, but we've been saying Jacoby forever. Is it JT Toppin?
That's an interesting one.
We were in on him earlier in the year, and then I feel like we're all like, he's going to go back and blow up. And then now everyone's starting to talk about like, oh, JT Toppin. I'm like, oh, okay. But
I think it could be Mark Sears if Alabama goes on a run here.
I love Mark Sears. I love him. Why is he not getting more love? Because he's 6'1"?
Yeah. It's kind of tough. Upperclassman, 6'1", not ideal, but hey, won't be the first one to
make draft him. Yeah, I draft him.
Otherwise, Deron Holmes. Dayton upsets Arizona. He's going to be a big reason why. And if he does that, that Dayton team could make a run. So that'll be
a Dayton upsets Arizona and Baylor beats New Mexico, and then we get Deron Holmes against Missy.
That's fun.
Holmes could give Missy some problems.
Or even Holmes against PJ Hall. I'd love either of those matchups.
Oh, gosh, I'd love that. That would be just street fight. They might just have like a bench contest at halftime. What I mean, North Carolina facing Alabama would be unbelievable. Harrison Ingram. Come on, we got to get on.
I like Harrison Ingram a lot. I would draft him this year.
He would be a stud second round pick. You got him in the middle of second. Ooh, I'd love that. That's good upside.
I'm coming away really underwhelmed with North Carolina's kind of conference tournament performance.
Yeah.
And going into it, I really liked them to make a run. But after that, I was like, oh, God, if a couple shots aren't falling, like, what are you guys doing?
Does Armando Bacot still have like 4 years left of eligibility?
Allegedly, he's done after this year, but
I don't believe it. At all. There's no way.
He's going to come back with a fake mustache. And
he's the new Perry Ellis.
Yeah.
He's Seth Towns. He's right there with him.
He could be playing Seth Towns in that 116 matchup because Seth Towns is at Howard, right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, he is.
Yeah. So if Howard beats Wagner, onto North Carolina. All right. Who's coming out of this region?
I'm going to be smart and not pick with my heart. So I'll say North Carolina. Boy. What about you?
Oh, boy.
This one's really
wide tough. Open. This one's really tough. Because I look at Clemson and New Mexico and be like, God, that'd be fun. But is this 6 or 11 really coming out? Maybe. I don't trust Baylor.
I don't trust Baylor at all.
I don't trust Arizona. I'm sorry.
No, I don't. I don't trust Arizona. I'm an Arizona fan.
Like
Arizona is a type of team that if they have a good first game, they're so scrappy, it could just be like, oh, here's the Arizona we saw in the beginning of the year that they're cooking. But what I don't love about Tommy Lloyd's teams is they love to be scrappy. But in a game when you have to have shooters, they never have a shooter. Yeah. I'm like, just recruit one shooter. Just get me one sniper, and you guys would have some. But
that's always when I'm relying on Caleb Love. Yes. 2 for 12. And it's the blowouts where he's
going to be 2 for 12. And I'm literally going to point at everyone and be like, this is why Pelle Larsen was not a first round. Like, it's like, we do this dance every year. He's really good. When the shot goes in, Pelle Larsen looks really good.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
But when it doesn't. My favorite, you know, analysis. Shock goes in. It looks good. Shout out Corey.
But like, and even North Carolina, it wouldn't shock me at all if they lost to Mississippi State or Michigan State. And those two teams are tough. I'm going to say Alabama. I'm going to say
they're going to score.
Their guys get hot.
They're going to score with a lot of people.
Yeah. I'm saying Alabama. Let's have a little fun. Let's get a little weird.
Yeah. I like it.
Okay. All right. Where you want to go? Midwest or South?
No, you pick. I picked West.
Let's go south. So we got Houston at 1, Marquette down at 2. Where do you want to start? This could be a really interesting region.
Yeah, this is where everyone came here for the South, the dirty South. Wisconsin James Madison is going to be hilarious because I actually think James Madison is going to win.
They score a lot.
The Florida Boise State / Colorado game. I love how Boise State and Colorado have to play to get in. And then you got to play a Florida team that's just been the biggest headache of all time when it comes to evaluation this year because they were so cold in the beginning of the year. And then now it's like, oh, wait, you guys just got smoking hot coming into the tournament. So that one will be interesting. Hoping Cody wakes up a little bit. I know he's trying to play through some injuries. So.
Yeah, let's talk about Cody and that Colorado team for just a second because we are your draft show and yes, Cody is the biggest prospect, not in the region but in that matchup. How concerned are you? How much of this is injuries? How much of it is he's just 15-20 pounds behind strength wise? Where what would be ideal at this point? Where you are with them? Because I'm starting to get, I'm cooling quickly.
I've cooled. He looks right now, and I don't know if it's injury. I don't know where he's at. I don't know a percentage of where he's at health wise right now. But right now he looks like what I was expecting him to look like in the beginning of the year. Does that make sense? Like, we all thought, and we were adamant about this. We were like, hey, he's a upside swing in the first round you'd love to take. And we said, but a lot of us thought he was going to need probably that second year to break out and have a full off season of working on his body, because it's his body's unfinished and he's got a lot of room to add on, but he's very thin framed. And I feel like lately the frame has been more noticeable. Like the lack of physicality right now has, I feel like early in the year, he was willing to take on contact, willing to go after guys. And now, you know, played with like a face mask for a couple of games. He's been banged up here. So I don't know if it's just paying the toll. So
is that a result? It's that kind of shift? And
could be.
Is that the result of the injuries that he's sustained?
It could
be. Or he's like, God, I'm sick of this.
It very much could be. So I think going into this, they need to win, and he needs to look good to kind of calm us all down, calm scouts, calm evaluators down. And then if he could play good against Florida, regardless of the outcome, like, I think that would be like, okay. But had a couple disappointing performances. I know they're bringing him off the bench. So at some point right now, I'm also looking at the Colorado team. And I'm like, I want to see what Tristan Da Silva's doing. He's looked fantastic. It's been opposite projections for both of them lately. I feel like one guy's going up, one guy's going down. So, and KJ Simpson. So I don't know. What about you, man? What's concerning you with Cody? Just the physicality?
The physicality, it's really affecting his ability to kind of finish at the rim. And he's turning the ball over a ton recently. And a lot of it is stuff in traffic where the handle's loose. He's not strong enough to hang on through it through kind of help digs. It's not so much like errant passing or anything like that. It's just when guys put a body on him, he really struggles with it right now. So, and he's had, what, three different injuries or whatever this year, like completely unrelated stuff that he's had to deal with. So I can understand it to some extent, but he's not looking like the top 3 to 5 picks. A lot of people were pitching him as, you know, ourselves included, a month ago. So it's tough. It's tough. And when the stuff on the interior isn't really happening like it currently is, you want to see, all right, where else are you affecting the game? And are you going to start knocking down shots at a really high clip? And just the percentage is good with him, but the volume's nowhere where you want it to be. So it's tough. I want to chalk a lot of it up to the injuries, because I really do believe in him long-term. It's just a pretty rough stretch right now.
Yeah, I thought we were, you know, I had him at one point. Yeah. And when I had him at one, I think it was right before, or like he had just missed one game, and I didn't think he was going to be missing so much time.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, if I was expecting him to be this raw this year, if he's at this point of this, you know, I think we were midway through the year when I had moved him up to one, I was like, he's got half a season to keep rolling, to keep grooming. Like, what is he going to look like when he's really finding his groove? And then he got hurt and just, it's never rebounded that way. So then that I looked at it and I was like, okay, I moved him back down. Like, cause I was like, his year's flipped now. Where now it's, I thought it was going to be trending up, and now it's up to down. So it's just, it's been an opposite effect. And, you know, I hope they play a couple of games and he looks good, but they got a win to get in. And then you got to face a red hot Florida team that's been playing good. So, I don't know. Anything other on Colorado, or should we?
No, let's move on. A couple other prospects to keep an eye on: Jamal Shedd with Houston. They are so depleted. They got injuries across the board right now. Duke obviously has a handful of guys: Kyle Filipowski, Jared McCain, Tyrese Proctor, Caleb Foster. Where else? NC State, just Cinderella run through the ACC tournament. That was incredible. The fact that they've won more games in the Wizards arena this year than the Wizards have is one of my favorite stats of the season. Shout out the Washington Wizards going, was it 4-26 at home right now? And NC State, 5-0.
That's an ultimate stat. I'm really proud of you for that.
Then obviously Kentucky, Dillingham, Shepherd, Edwards, DJ Wagner, Adu Thiero, Big Z. I'm missing someone there, but oh, Austin, Antonio Reeves, Florida Marquette. Where do you want? Which one of those kind of really stands out to you? Who could really make some noise?
I think Marquette can still. I think Marquette could take this. It all comes down to is Tyler Kolek healthy?
Yeah,
and I think if he gets back, they're gonna start cooking again. I think they could use those first couple games to get Kolek back cruising, and you know, then that sets up potentially Kentucky Marquette, which my goodness,
that'd be fun.
And then if the winner of that could be facing winner of Houston Duke in theory, like so I don't know. It seems like this is the path for Kolek to get on a little heater, really start to make some. But
he has to be healthy, because if he's 50%, they're screwed.
And that team's deep, and that's what I'm saying.
They're good enough to win the first game, maybe the second too. I don't think they can win much after that.
If he's getting the rust off in the first couple games, they're good enough to win those games.
Yes.
They got Cam Jones, they got Chase Ross, they got Oso, they got depth, they got pieces that can fly all over the place. But when you get to Kentucky, he's got to be ready to roll. He's got to be, all right, let's go. And I don't think Tyler Kolek will need motivation for that game. I think he'll be ready. Tyler Kolek and Reed Sheppard, you know, Dillingham, I mean, that'd be unbelievable. So I don't know. I mean, do you think Kentucky can get out of this?
Could they? Yes.
The problem is they're going to have to outscore everyone, which they can do that.
And they don't defend at all.
They don't defend, and they're going to try to outscore everyone, and then they're going to run into Marquette and Houston, which are going to be glad for them to be like, come try to score on us. Like,
Marquette
will run eight guys at them. That all play the strength. Like Marquette, Chase Ross, Cam Jones, and Kolek will have a lot of fun with
Shaka Smart's gonna be closing out on Dillingham threes.
He might start.
He's out there for the tip.
And then we get Marquette Houston potentially. Oh gosh, that would be unreal basketball game. That game literally could go to like seven overtimes. Be glorious.
Yeah,
the final score 50-48.
Yeah, so Kentucky, obviously, there's always a chance with the talent they have. They could do it. But, I mean, we saw how vulnerable they are, because they can't stop anyone from scoring. And if everyone's not clicking, I'm not sure how I can't see them getting past Marquette. I'm really worried about Houston in this group, too. I think
I am too.
So many of their injuries are starting to kind of pile up. And that Nebraska-Texas A&M game is going to be really fascinating, because they're just two such different teams in terms of style.
A&M seems like Houston A&M's a little bit like I would not be like, 1-9-1. I'd be like, A&M's a little bit of a party like crasher. I could see them just being like feisty too. And it's a really good bracket, because it's just like you could talk yourself into a lot of teams. You know, I don't think Texas Tech going up against Kentucky, I don't think that's a cakewalk for Kentucky. I think that Texas Tech will go to battle. So I don't know.
Yeah, and Pop Isaacs from Texas Tech having a heck of a year. But it'll be fascinating to see this NC State team. How much do they have left? Because five games in 5 days, or was it six? Is five or six. But incredible run. They had to win their tournament to get in. Are they gassed? Like, how much of that can they carry over to not just one game, but two or more? So it'll be, I think this is a really, really fascinating group. Who's coming out?
Marquette.
Okay.
I think they've had Kolek in a lab just waiting to defrost him.
I think I'm
I don't know. I don't have a funny joke there. I just think I think they're going to be ready to go. I think they're going to bring him back. He's going to try to get through it. If he can shake the rust off in the first round and be ready to go, I think they're going to be really, really tough. Houston's so fun, but I just feel like those teams are really tough to get to the big dance.
Yeah.
Like, because I think one game where Shed is cold, you're like, we're really scrapping to get through. And I think there's a lot of teams that if Houston's cold, will give them problems. What about you?
I think I'm going to lean Marquette. It obviously all hinges on if Kolek is healthy or not. If he's not, not sure they can beat Florida, honestly, let alone Kentucky. But if he is, I'm not sure there's a better team in this group. So
if Marquette gets beat by Florida, I could see Kentucky getting out of here. I could also see Kentucky facing Duke to go to the big show, which would be just unreal for obvious reasons. But I still like Marquette. I think they're going to be fine.
Same. All right, let's go Midwest. We got Purdue as the one seed, Tennessee as the two. What jumps out to you in this group?
You start it. I don't like when you just make me fail everything. I want you to also feel like you're, you know, getting some love. What do you like? Where's your upset special? I think there's a lot of them.
I think we're going to see a 12-13 matchup in the second round.
I do too.
I think it wouldn't shock me if McNeese beats Gonzaga, and I think this Kansas team is playing the worst basketball of their season right now, and they're hurt.
Chidada Wells.
They play
Chidada Wells on McNeese. Sorry if I pronounce his first name wrong, but is the guy. I think they're going to beat Gonzaga. And yeah. I think Samford's going to beat Kansas. I'm right there with you. Mature on Kansas, on Samford. It's the name to watch. I really do think we're going to get a 12-13. It's going to be beautiful chaos.
Oddly, my two favorite games in this region are, one of them is the play-in in Virginia, Colorado State. I am very excited about that game. And then South Carolina, Oregon. My two sweet princes in Kwame Evans and Colin Murray-Boyles going head-to-head. It's going to be electric.
It's almost the Spider-Man meme. I also feel like if Kwame was at South Carolina, he'd be having a much better year because he'd be able to play. Virginia, Colorado State is probably one of my favorite games of the whole opening week. It's going to be so ugly, and I love it. I mean, we get Ryan Dunn, Reese Beekman, Neat Clifford, Isaiah Stevens. Like that game's going to be fun. And I also think whoever wins that game, you got to pick it. Tell me, Virginia, Colorado State, you got to pick it right now.
Is either team going to break 50?
I don't know, but I also think I could see, I don't think Virginia could beat Texas. I could see Colorado State potentially
beating Texas. I'm going to say Colorado State beats Virginia.
I do too. The dream. Can I dream a little?
Here we go. What do you want? Ryan Dunn guarding Dalton Connecticut.
Yes, I want it so bad. Oh my gosh, I want it so bad. I looked at that and I was like writing down all the bracket, and then I looked at the screen and they announced it and I went, oh my gosh, we could get Ryan Dunn on Dalton Connecticut, which could be just like the ultimate swing game for each. Because what if everyone's just like, oh gosh, Dunn, look what a great job he did on Connecticut. I'd be like, yeah, that's why we draft defense. But I also think you could do the same for Neat Clifford, if they somehow played tennis, if they could beat Texas. But Texas, I think, is going to be a little scrappy. Texas is
going to be tough.
Dylan Mitchell, Garden, Connect, maybe. I don't know. Like, so, this is a good little amount of chaos that we can get. I mean, because Creighton, South Carolina, if South Carolina beats Oregon, could be a little weird. I know Colin Murray-Boyles said he's staying, but
we'll see.
Interesting things happen when you are in front of NBA teams and they're like, oh yeah, we'd probably pick you in the top 25. And you're like, top 25?
It's like, what? Oh, 5 years for how many million?
Yeah. But so every player right now that's saying he's going back to school right away, I don't know if I ever buy it. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. Especially test the waters and let me know. Off the court. So yeah. I know his dad said the same thing, but
I know.
We'll see. We'll
see.
Let's just say we'll see.
Promise season is always a dangerous one.
Jerry, I love your enthusiasm in the comments. I have zero confidence in Purdue coming out of this.
Zero.
Season. Zero.
Zero.
Am I wrong for that? Or are you agreeing?
No, but my problem is I'm picking them because I think they have a good path.
I think they win their first game, obviously. I think they beat either Utah State or TCU. I think they would probably... Would Gonzaga be their... I mean, Kansas should be their toughest matchup, but we saw Zach Edey bully Hunter Dickinson for 3 years at Michigan. So,
well, and Hunter, they mentioned he might not even be playing the first round, which I was like, oh, gosh.
Yeah. Well, and McCullough's banged up, too.
Yes, they're just falling apart. And Samford shoots the crap out of the ball, yeah, I believe.
They play 10... They have like a 9 or 10 man rotation and play super fast.
And they're bombs away. So yeah. That's why they match up terribly with Kansas. Cause if McCullough is not out, which he's not a shooter, and Hunter's out to take away your big advantage, like they can't shoot with them. What are we going to give Furphy 25 threes? Like we can't do that. You know, what is it, Dwan Harris? Is he still there? Like,
yes,
we can't, they can't shoot. So I don't know, but Samford also could get cold. When Kansas slows it down, and you never know. But I think that's the game where if Hunter was playing, I'd be like, oh, that could be a tough one if you have to feed Hunter the whole game. My problem about focusing on Purdue is I don't know if I love anyone. I think Purdue's beatable. I've said it all year because I feel like all it takes is a so-so Edey game and not a bunch of contributing pieces around it, and you can get them. But then they get to, in theory, if Tennessee gets to face them, it's the ultimate Spider-Man meme because it's either can you take Zach Edey out of the game or take Dalton Connect out of the game. And whoever you take out, I still like Tennessee in that game probably.
And I think you're giving a real discredit to Creighton, who I think...
No, could... I'm not. I have Creighton playing Tennessee, and that was the one I stopped and was like, ooh.
I think Creighton wins that game.
I picked Creighton at first, and then I just said, like... Does Tennessee's scrappy guys kind of match up well with Creighton's strengths? It could be a big Kalkbrenner game.
Yeah.
But like Shireman, I was like, okay. Jordan James should be good on him.
The big thing with Creighton is what Shireman are you getting? Are you getting the guy who's going 3 of 22 from three, or
and which Trey are you getting?
6 of 9, yeah.
Because Trey could take over that game against Tennessee in a way, but yeah, that's a good one. I think Creighton's got a good path. I know you just brought it up, but I was looking at it earlier, and I was like, Creighton could get out of this.
Yeah,
especially if Creighton's playing Purdue.
Yes, because I think Kalkbrenner could really kind of give Edey some issues.
Yeah.
Because neither of those guys want to defend outside of 5 feet. But inside that 5 feet, they're pretty incredible.
All right, Metcalf, I'll do it. Are we saying Creighton? Are we going with the Blue Jays?
God, Matt, could you... So I had them to win the national title last year at plus 2,200.
Oh,
and really that game against San Diego State... Yeah, I want pity right now. That's what I'm searching for.
I know. I feel terrible.
That game against San Diego State. Hey, for refs, call a foul. If they went on to win it all this year, it would just be infuriating.
They have a good path.
They do.
Because Creighton's such a wild card because you do have Shireman who... Shireman gets a little hot and he could be playing against Dalton and be like, I'll go toe to toe with this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a tough one. That could be the game of the tournament. Just in terms of like, whoa, matchups galore. It's also a game in which Dalton puts up 45 and we're just like, top five. No, I think Purdue's beatable. I really do.
I'm gonna say Creighton comes out of this region.
I'm always thinking the feeding one guy in the post the whole time is bad strategy for a big tournament run, because I think you eventually run into a team that says, we can deal with that. And if Creighton's there, they'll be like, Kalkbrenner's going to go to work. We've got pieces around that could give you guys nightmares. Trey Alexander probably will put Edie in the pick and roll, or Shireman will put him in the pick and roll a bunch. Okay, I'll pick Creighton.
You don't have to pick Creighton.
No,
you can be your own man. Pick for yourself.
Okay, so let's talk more drafts, guys, in the tournament, and then we can talk some guys that aren't dancing. Who in that region do you think could make the most noise to get back up, or just make the most noise in terms of draft stock? Is it Trey, or are we just out on Trey?
Not out, but
I feel like everybody forgot about Trey.
Well,
I was a play on a Dr. Dre song. So
no, I understood what it was. It just didn't land. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I tried.
I think it could be Murray Boyles or Kwame, who have the biggest jump. If they, whoever wins that game, if they have a big game and then have a really good second game, whether they win or lose, as a freshman, you know, toolsy, really high level defenders, good athletes, flashes of offensive stuff, I think they could kind of start to turn a lot of heads and get people to kind of go back and watch some of their stuff from the regular season that was really impressive, and kind of hone in on some of the finer details to their game.
Are we a Purdue Final Four away from someone projecting Edie in the top 10?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If they do make the Final Four, if he averages 30 and 15 with two blocks, someone's going to put him in their top 10.
And they play Marquette in the Final Four, and he has a field day with Oso.
Yeah.
That would also, like, if Oso just took care of him, I'd be like, Oso, I love you.
But what that would give us, potentially, is Zach Edey, Diamond Klingon in the finals.
I know.
Who doesn't want to see that? Regardless of how the tournament shakes out, I think that there just needs to be an invitational, like the weekend after, of just UConn playing Purdue, just so we can see that.
Yeah. There's also a path in which which Duke somehow gets out of there and we get Filipowski Edey, in which there might actually be a fight. Oh man. I actually think that'd be funny, because I wonder if people would start rooting for Edey.
In what sense?
Just the Filipowski fiasco with the, I wonder if people would be like, okay, we're rooting for Edey now. I'm just kidding, Duke fans. Go Duke. Okay. What other thoughts you got? Anything?
What would be your favorite finals matchup?
Oh, that's a good one.
Not necessarily who you think will get there, but in your ideal world, who would you want to see in the finals?
I'm not going to say Arizona, because I'm going to leave that out.
We all know in your heart it's Arizona.
No, but I wouldn't enjoy it, because I would be
just a wreck.
Yeah. I would probably say UConn. I'm trying to figure out who I want UConn to play. The other one would be Marquette Creighton.
They can't.
They can. No, they're not.
In the finals?
Oh, you said Final Four.
No, I said finals.
I'm sorry. I was giving you my Final Four.
No, I want championship matchup. For what it's worth, my favorite that I think would be the most fun would be UConn-Kentucky.
I think UConn-Kentucky would be my most favorite, the most fun. I want healthy Marquette versus UConn, because UConn just kicked the crap out of them. I want Marquette just foaming at the mouth of being like, we want revenge. Marquette played a terrible game against them. I just want to see. I think they match up. I think they match up better than Creighton and UConn. I think Marquette, I want to see them if they can have a shot at revenge. I think Kentucky would try to score with them. And who the hell's guarding Clinton on Kentucky?
Exactly. No one.
The arrow?
No, Big Z, excuse you.
He'd foul out in the first 3 minutes.
Yeah, and then on Onyenso.
Big O? Yeah, and, I mean, oh, might. Big O,
ten,
Big
and
Z.
And then 10 minutes later, Aaron Bradshaw.
Kentucky-UConn would be very fun. What about we can't use at UConn? I was going to say my final four would probably be UConn, North Carolina, Marquette, Creighton. Because I think UConn, Baycott versus Klingon, and then you get a little Elliot Cadeau and Tristan Newton, like RJ Davis. That might be fun. I also wanted to say New Mexico making it to the Final Four.
New Mexico McNeese in the finals?
No, I said, what about if electric. What if it's UConn, New Mexico?
Oh, God.
New Mexico's just like, we will beat anyone. Like, that team,
we will
get
never
weird.
Die. Yeah, that. I think that's all I got on the bracket. Anyone you want to talk about? Surprises, snubs, people you thought should have made it that didn't?
Had some fans DM me that they were bummed that Indiana State didn't make it, and I was a little bummed too.
It would have been fun having Robbie Avila in the tournament.
Yeah. I wanted Providence to make it, but I knew they weren't going to make it because I wanted to see little Devin Carter in the tournament. I thought that could have been a guy that became a tournament darling. What about who are you watching? Let's talk, guys that didn't make the tournament for you, Mr. Metcalf. Is there anyone you're thinking, like, because I think this is an important thing to remember for everyone that's taking scouting or you're watching prospects, you're evaluating. It's really easy to forget about some guys.
Yeah.
This time of the year, it's really easy to be like, oh, well, they're not going to be on. So they're not going to be up fresh in our mind. So it's almost like you got to refresh yourself of like, hey, you know, Devin Carter isn't going to be playing. We're not going to be watching him. So you got to be like, well, don't fall in love with what you're watching right now because it's fresh. Like, stick to your gun, stick to your heart. So I feel like Devin Carter, Isaiah Collier was looking much better towards the end of the year. Khalil Ware. I like Khalil Ware. I'm buying in. I think I'm not the only one in those ceilings, but I'm trying to get Metcalf on the ship.
I'm happy for you.
First class tickets for the Khalil Ware experience. But Tyshawn George is going to be a wild card. I'm fascinated to see what happens with him. Jalen Tyson to Cal. Is there anyone in your mind you're like, hey, I need to. Just because they're not playing, I need to go back and watch. I feel like Jameer Watkins is a guy I need to do another deep dive on.
Yeah, well, I think Watkins is up there for me.
Florida State, just, for anyone that doesn't know.
Yes, important. I just always came away from his games like, eh. But then I'd look at the box score and you're like 25 somehow. I'm like, when did that happen? Like, yeah, I remember you missing 8 layups, but where did the 25 makes come in?
Those ones are scary. Those guys are really scary when you're like, oh, he played solid. And then you look up and you're like, wait, 14, 8, 6, and 4? Yeah. What?
I don't remember any of this happening.
And then you go back and watch and you're like, oh, shit, yeah, he did do all that. Like,
yeah.
But his second half of the year was just ridiculous. I mean, he's 1.5 blocks, 1.5 steals, shooting good number. Oh, yeah. So I got to watch him. AJ Mitchell, Hunter Salas. I need to watch Hunter Salas a lot. I need to do some serious Hunter Salas stuff.
Hunter Salas is up there. Isaiah Collier, I want to go back through his stretch after the injury where he was looking really good. Just kind of trying to figure out what changed from the first half of the season. Because he ended the season really, really strong, which is exactly what you want to see. Hunter Salas, I got to figure out why everyone is so excited. And I just can't get the image of Reese Beekman bullying him for 40 minutes out of my mind. So I need to kind of start binging some of their other games and get a better idea of him.
That one won't get out of my head either. But I'm in the same boat as you. I'm about to do a lot of film breakdowns for YouTube. We're going to get like a little twist on the finals. But Hunter is one of my first ones I'm going to do because I'm like, I need to watch as much as I possibly can.
Yeah, and A.J. Mitchell is the other big one for me, just because every game I saw from him, he shot like sub 40%. So that
the funny thing is, I think he just played through an illness for a while, or he was banged up, or he was playing sick, and he had a couple downer games, and then I like forgot they played one night, and then I look up and oh, he had 35. Like, yeah. So I need to jump back in on A.J. I love A.J.'s game, but he had a rough stretch, and then had a big one at the end of the year, so I need to watch him too. But there's a lot of guys. Dylan Jones, a lot of guys like that this year. And I think it is an important thing if you're a fan. Like, you're going to be watching a lot of new stuff in the upcoming weeks. Make sure you keep in mind the old guys. Don't fall in love with just what's happening right now. Like, stick to your guns if you watch those guys. So, anything else?
And just one question here in the comments, just other than Zach Edey, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit here, but I think he's basically asking who are the kind of strongest, most immovable centers in this draft, just their ability to absorb contact. I would throw Donovan Klingon up there, obviously. I think Ryan Kalkbrenner is right there too. Anyone for you?
I think Daron Holmes is pretty sneaky, like, tough to deal with, like, because he can overpower you, and he also can slip and kind of be slithery. I'm trying to think of like big guy. PJ Hall is a bruiser, but I'm trying to think of guys that just like just
he's a little smaller, but I think Colin Murray Boyles is kind of like that, and he's big. He's strong.
Well, there's guys that play like a Hulk. There's big guys that don't welcome contact. Murray Boyle's 6'8", 230, but he looks like he's like welcoming it, like bring it on.
Yeah.
Edie's like that, where you just bounce off him because he also knows like I have to play that way. Baycott, maybe. Ballo could get hot for Arizona, but I don't think he's going to get drafted. Why am I missing? I'm missing someone. Missy. We're missing a big. We're missing one. Johnny Broom? No, maybe.
And physical, sure. Like, a lot of these guys are super physical, but like immovable. I'm not sure. There's many outside.
No, not. Yeah, Clay, I'm right there. I think that's a runner. Yeah, I think you're right there. I think you're spot on, because I was even thinking about saying follow Dante, but he's not unmovable. He's just plays strong. So immovable, I would say. Yeah, you're right there.
All right, cool. This is a blast, Rucker. Anything else on your end?
No, I mean, thanks for doing this, Metcalf, and thanks for everyone listening. I'm really excited for this. I know we're going to have a lot of draft stuff coming up on YouTube, not just a pod. So thanks for everyone always joining us, especially everyone in the chat. It's been a great time. And Metcalf, enjoy. Thanks for doing this, sir.
Absolutely. This is a blast as always. Everyone who's viewing, thanks for hanging out with us. Everyone listening, likewise. If you guys are interested, keep an eye out on our Twitter feed, at No Ceilings NBA. We are going to be doing another tournament challenge this year, sending some sort of merch or draft guide, to the winner.
Draft guide. Winner gets a draft guide. We're doing it.
There we go. So go sign up for that. It'll be free. We're gonna have some fun. Bragging rights, free draft guide, all that fun stuff. You can that'll be posted either Monday or Tuesday, at No Ceilings NBA on Twitter. You can follow us across all socials at No Ceilings NBA. I will also have a new film school video on Reed Shepard's offense going up this week over on YouTube. Had some fun with it. Turns out he's good. He's really, really good. Maxwell's going to have a massive tournament preview piece up on Monday. Go check it out. NoCeilingsNBA.com. It will be free. We got a lot of great stuff going up on No Ceilings Plus as well. Corey will have a piece on his in-person reactions from the Big East tournament going up next Friday too. As always, we got incredible stuff going up all the time. Team is hard at work as always. But again, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Once again, I'm Tyler Metcalf. You can follow me on Twitter at TMetcalf11. He is Tyler Rucker at Tyler_Rucker. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and a 5-star rating. Till next time, see ya.